Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Financial Re-Education Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I think people have been investing in the market and they may need a little brush up on the kinds of things that the terminology that takes place. Sometimes you forget. I thought I would just remind people of what these terms mean so that when you watch CNN and they mention whatever.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
A bull market. For example, this is a random market movement causing an investor to mistake himself for a financial genius. A bear market is an extended period when the kids get no allowance, the wife gets no jewelry, and the husband gets no sex. Broker. What your broker has made you.
Yeah.
A stock split is when your ex-wife and her lawyer split your assets between them. A market correction is what happens the day after you buy stocks. And cash flow is the movement that your money makes as it disappears down the toilet. Well, we need reminders. And that's my reminder.
I recall my stockbroker using that term, market correction, frequently.
Well, was it shortly after you had made a purchase?
Always. I bought this stock yesterday for 20.
There's a correction.
And I looked, it's like 16 now, market correction. But don't worry, don't try to time the market. Doesn't make any difference if you buy high, as long as you sell so I can make another commission.
I like the bull market. A random market movement causing an investor to mistake himself for a financial genius.
Well, anyway, if you have a question about your car or, more importantly, your investments, because we're financial whizzes, the number to call here is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rebecca from Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, Rebecca. Do they call you anything for short?
They call me Becca.
Becca.
Yeah.
Becca
from Vancouver, Washington.
That's right.
Okay, Becca.
I have a 75 Dodge Dart. it's a slant 6, I think 225.
That's right. You got
okay.
it, kid.
Okay.
You got it. Well, you're living the dream, baby. You're living the dream.
I love this car. I've been through it and back with it the last couple of months. About 6 months ago, I kind of forgot to put oil in it for a while.
You just ruined the dream.
Don't need oil.
The dream turned into a nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I spun a bearing, so I had to replace the crankshaft. And I did that myself, and it went okay for the most part. And, you know, I had a little help because I'm not strong enough to lift the crankshaft myself.
Am I anymore.
No, nobody is.
Okay, well, I put it all back together, and there's no leaks. It's fine, except when I turn the car off, it wants to keep running. It goes boop, 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 like that.
Okay. Hmm.
And I have to replace the brake booster, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I've taken it, after I replaced the crankshaft and everything, I took it in to have it timed, and they adjusted the carburetor, but it still keeps doing it, and I don't know what that is.
When you did the bearings, you did the crankshaft, you replaced the bearings, did you do anything else? Did you take the cylinder head off?
The cylinder head.
You did all this from the bottom.
I don't know the names of the stuff very well, but I put new pistons in, piston rings. And,
okay, so you took the head off.
Oh, you did. Yeah. You did everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you don't even know the names of these things, and you did all that?
Well, that's why I needed help, because I don't know the names of things. I have my own names, so I go to the auto parts store, and I'm like, okay, it looks like this.
Yeah. Give me some of these round things. Give me 18 of these round things.
I need some of the thingies.
I have these things that I call couplets, and I still don't know what they're called, but they're just like things that I'm like, yeah, that looks like a couplet to me.
Sure.
Chicken or veal? Or couplet?
A couplet.
I'm mechanically inclined. If I know what's wrong and if I know what the parts are called, I can fix it.
Wow. So now you want to know why.
So you did everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there are various causes for your condition, which is called dieseling.
Okay.
One of them is excessive engine idle speed.
Okay.
Which I trust you don't have because you took it in to be adjusted.
Right.
And if the guys that adjusted it were over 45, they would have known how to adjust it.
Okay, yeah, they were.
They adjusted the carburetor, you said?
Yes.
And you say you need a booster. Why do you need a booster? Because the brakes don't work correctly?
Yeah, when I go to stop, it kind of mushes to the floor, and I really have to push it in there, and the guy said that it was the brake booster.
Now, if it mushes to the floor,
no,
that means the booster's working well.
It's the master cylinder.
The master cylinder.
Yeah. Was this the same guy that adjusted the carburetor?
Yeah.
Okay, then that explains everything.
We'll change everything.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's not the booster.
It's not the booster.
But they're not related.
Okay.
Here's the test for the booster if you want to do it.
Okay.
First start the engine, get it warmed up.
Okay.
Shut the engine off. Okay. Get inside the car and pump the brake pedal 6 or 7 times. And each time you do it, the pedal will get harder and harder to depress and will also get higher.
Okay.
So that you'll be able to move the pedal only a fraction of an inch before it feels like a rock.
Okay.
With your foot held firmly on the brake pedal, start the engine.
Okay.
If the booster is working, you will feel the pedal sink down toward the floor.
Okay.
If the booster weren't okay, it might be giving you a vacuum leak. That being the case, it could make the engine run too lean. It could also cause it to diesel.
Okay. Oh,
but it would run very rough. Does it run rough?
Yeah.
So the engine at idle will shake.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you know where the booster is?
Yeah, I do.
There's a big fat rubber hose that runs from the booster. There's only one hose.
Okay.
Get a pair of pliers, and while the engine is running, squeeze that hose as hard as you can.
Okay.
And if the engine runs more smoothly, you need a booster.
Okay.
And that could be causing you dieseling.
Oh, okay.
But if this guy misdiagnosed the booster, then he probably adjusted the carburetor incorrectly.
Okay.
There are other possibilities. In fact, excessive engine operating temperature could cause dieseling.
Wrong timing.
And that could be caused by having bearings that weren't fitted correctly or the crankshaft that wasn't installed correctly. But we don't want to get into that because that would be very depressing and it would ruin the rest of your summer.
That's right, because I'm certain that I put it in right.
Of course you did.
We know you did.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
See you, Becca.
Bye.
You may have to fly us out there.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. That was pretty courageous of her.
It was.
I think I'll just replace the crankshaft. Wow.
Well, don't you remember when we had the do-it-yourself shop?
Do I remember?
Long, long ago, on a galaxy, long forgotten, we had people that used to come into our shop. We had a shop that was split down the middle with an imaginary line, and on one half of the shop, we had a regular repair shop, and the other half, we used to rent out tools and space with a jack and a drop light and a shoulder to cry on, and I was always amazed at the courage that people had to do things that they had never done before. And more importantly, jobs that we had never done before.
And we were going to advise them.
And remember that guy that took apart his Jaguar transmission?
Yeah.
Whatever happened? He's still there.
He might be.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paul Everett calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hey. No last names, please.
Sorry about that.
North Carolina.
That's in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And what can we discuss with you today, sir?
Well, I was hanging out on the internet one day, and I was at one of those classified used car search engine things.
Yes.
And I did a search for cars in the $0 to $250 category.
You cheapskate. Zero.
Wait a minute. Did my MG come up?
No, but every other car you ever owned did.
Actually, only one car came up. One car came up, and it was about 3 hours away from my house, and it was $200. It was a 86 Chevy Nova.
Yeah. Gee, so that's not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. It runs real rough and backfires, and, it makes a lot of noise.
Couldn't
exactly
be better.
What I wanted.
Yeah.
So we drive it back here, and it's running great for about a month, and the previous owner took a radial saw to the roof and sawed out an enormous hole, so there's no cover. It's sort of a homemade sunroof. And so to get in and out of the car, everybody would walk across the hood and across the trunk and things like that. And one night, there were about 5 people that were in the process of getting in the car. They were standing on the hood, and they started, dancing around. And then all of a sudden, all this smoke and sparks and flames come out from under the hood.
I know what happened.
We sort of realized that it must have been the battery that had sort of blown up or something.
Well, yeah, they short-circuited the battery by crushing the hood.
Exactly. The battery had welded itself. The positive terminal had welded itself to the underside of the hood. It got so hot.
Love it.
And the ground wire was completely burned in half. And believe it or not, the car started, just didn't have any headlights, no taillights, no brake lights, no turn signals, nothing.
Right.
Yeah, because you fried all those wires.
Right. Well, you burned out all the fusible links.
Yeah, none of the fun stuff worked.
Oh, yeah, the battery was cooked.
But, you know, the car still runs, and I checked all those. There's a set of fusible links right on the positive terminal, and I checked all those. Those are fine. All the main fuses are fine. I just don't know what's going on.
Oh, no,
they can't be fine.
Yeah, and there are many other fusible links in this car as well.
Oh, no.
You need the wiring diagram, which cost you about $200.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's as much as the car.
Get a wiring diagram. I bet if you went to a Chevrolet dealer, you'd find some old geezer there that would just give you the service manual for this thing.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't see these anymore.
Yeah.
No. Maybe you could buy it for $5, and then you can sit down and find all the other fusible links.
Yeah, if you explain your plight to someone. I mean, if nothing else, they could Xerox the wiring diagram for
you. If you had a Toyota dealer, this is the same as an 85 Corolla.
Uh-huh.
Now, these fusible links you're looking at, are these like clear plastic fuses?
Well, it's sort of a box. It's a little miniature
box.
Yeah,
that ain't what you want. There is a bundle of fusible links which look like wires,
uh-huh.
And they run right off of the positive battery cable.
Uh-huh.
And I bet you that's all melted there. If you just took all those wires and stripped them bare and joined them all together and touched them to the positive terminal, I bet you most of the stuff in the car would work.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So if you go out and get yourself a bunch of number 12 gauge wire and just sit down and cut everything and replace all the burned out stuff just by connecting. You're not colorblind, are you?
No, I'm not.
Doesn't make any difference. Just hook everything up.
You could connect blue to blue, red to red, and all that stuff. And I think that's what I would do.
Well,
but
then you wouldn't have any circuit protection. You can buy fusible link wire in a roll.
Uh-huh.
And you can patch up these fusible links so that if anything stupid like this ever happens again, the same thing will happen and the car won't blow up.
I mean, the fact that you had this protection is what prevented the car from bursting into flame.
Well, that probably would have been better. I would have gotten some insurance money for it or something.
Yeah, maybe about $200.
$200.
But that's what you need to do. When you figure out how you can get everything to work, then you can, in fact, make some fusible links for yourself.
Ooh, that would be most excellent.
It would be a learning experience.
I'm sure it would be.
And don't let anyone walk on the hood anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's half the fun.
I know. See you, Paul.
All right, thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Deborah Rodriguez, and I'm calling from Haverhill, Massachusetts.
Deborah?
Yes.
Is that a five-letter Deborah or a seven-letter Deborah?
It's a D-E-B-O-R-A-8-7.
Seven. Yeah, that's the real spell.
That's the real thing. None of this shortcut stuff.
Haverhill.
Haverhill. Hey, that's right. Are you familiar with Haverhill, Massachusetts?
Never heard of it.
I have heard of it, you know, and I don't have the faintest idea where it is.
Well, it's north of Boston, about 2 hours north of Boston in rush hour traffic and a half hour without rush hour.
Got it.
A friend of mine says that I'm from New Hampshire because I'm right on the border, but I'm not. I'm Massachusetts.
We can tell that.
Yeah. There's a big, big difference.
There is a huge difference.
You go over that line and your IQ will drop 30 points.
You'll lose 5 teeth.
And my husband turns into my brother.
Exactly, right.
We won't go there, but anyway.
So what's up, Deborah?
Well, actually it's my husband's car. It's an 89 Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah.
And this car, every once in a while, there seems to be no pattern. When I go to start it, it makes this very loud, metallic...
grinding noise.
Yeah, like a barking seal kind of noise.
Ah!
Exactly.
Like gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
That's it. And that's exactly what it is. It's gnashing of teeth,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's gnashing of teeth. Did you just make that up?
No.
No.
No, not really. Yeah. This is an automatic transmission Golf?
Yes.
I knew it.
So is this something that I need to be worried about?
Yes.
No. Yes, no?
Yes, you do.
I do.
How long has it been doing this?
Oh, a long time.
But for every 10 times...
What's the frequency?
For every 10 times that you turn that key to start the car, how many times does it do this?
Usually it only does it once. The most it's ever done it is 3 times in a row.
How many miles on the car?
175,000.
I would do nothing.
You would do nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what is
it? I mean, when it happens.
If you don't have to do anything, why do you want to know what it is? I mean, what difference does it make?
When it does happen, all you need to do is make sure you stop right away, which, of course, you do. You let go of that key right away.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the radio will keep playing because it's a DW.
The radio has been stolen 4 times.
Well, of course, they can hear it playing. They know you have a radio. The damn thing shut off. It was stolen.
As long as the second you hear it happen, you let go of the key.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep driving.
What's wrong is that the gears on the flywheel that are supposed to mesh smoothly with the gears on the pinion of the starter are all chewed up.
Mm.
So that when that starter gear, when you turn the key and that starter gear pops out to turn the flywheel, it's hitting teeth that are all chewed up.
Oh. Yeah.
You've got one spot of maybe a half a dozen teeth that are chewed up, and the other 50 teeth are okay. And that would explain why one out of 10 times.
See, and if you did live in New Hampshire, you wouldn't notice you were missing teeth.
See, you could have just left it. I mean, it might have just slipped by.
I couldn't do it.
I know.
I couldn't do it.
But by the way, exactly. when you do get this fixed, I mean, this is several hundred dollars, so if you decide to get it fixed.
No, don't.
So I wouldn't fix it.
Don't touch it.
Okay.
Don't touch it. I mean, if it gets to be so frequent that every single time you try to start the car, it does it, then you really have to start thinking about it.
You'll know, Deborah, you will know when it's time to start thinking about it. It's like when Berman had that growth on his head.
That wasn't a growth. That was his head.
He knew when it was time. See you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Bye, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's time for a few words from our local stations.
And what might those words be?
How about mid-season replacement? How's that sound?
That's what I was afraid of. We're going to be right back, maybe.
Red light, green light, here we go. I really motivated, burning up in the road. Four carburetors and a hydromatic drive. I'm a tearing down main at 105. Oh, 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 me. Take a look at that pink Cadillac. Oh, golly gee. With the four yellow wheels and the red on the back. I'm a telling you, Jack. Woo! I love that pink Cadillac, Cadillac, Cadillac. Oh, well, yesterday morning I walked by the lot. I saw the pink Cadillac and man, it sure looked hot. The salesman sold me that pretty little boat for no money down and $100 note. So, oh, oh, me. Take a look at that pink Cadillac. Oh, golly gee. With the four yellow wheels and the red on the back. I'm a telling you, Jack. Woo! I love that pink Cadillac, Cadillac, Cadillac.
And even though Marconi rolls over in his grave every time we say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com/CarTalk to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Let's play some games, everybody. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, host of NPR's Ask Me Another. Are you looking for the answer to life's funnier questions?
Zamboni?
That is correct. Every week, we blend comedy plus a special celebrity interview. Jim Gaffigan.
I've always done acting. I just have never gotten roles.
Listen and tell your friends.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and killing time at work.
Mm.
Now, our regular listener knows that the Puzzler has been AWOL for several weeks now.
Our regular listener? We only have one listener now? We had six.
We may be down
to one.
To none. We don't know. But should you find yourself in urgent need of a Puzzler, if you suddenly turn to the person next to you and say, whoa, I got to take a Puzzler, here's what you can do. Just go to cartalk.com and we'll provide you with a Car Talk Puzzler from the archives.
Ooh.
And if we're feeling generous, we'll throw in the answer, too. So if you're desperate, you're lonely, you have nothing to do, and no one at work will talk to you.
Yeah, this is the thing to do.
Visit cartalk.com and get yourself a Puzzler. It will cheer you up. In the meantime, if you want to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Beth from Gainesville, Florida.
Hi,
Beth.
Beth.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Well, my question is that...
You a student?
Actually, I just graduated. I'm not yet working. I'm very, very poor. And a couple of weeks back, I managed, well, I thought it was a good idea to take my 1999 Volkswagen Jetta trailblazing.
Trailblazing. Well, you'll have to tell us the finer points of trailblazing. But
well, it's like I went out to this music festival and out in the woods, and I'm driving down these dirt roads, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's pitch black, and all of a sudden the dirt road is no longer. So I'm like now making my own road.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I ended up
blazing a trail, so to speak.
Yes, and so I ended up in some sugar sand, some soft sand, and my wheels just dug down, and I ended up with this mound of dirt under the car. And when I tried going in reverse, I ripped out, like, all the plastic molding underneath my car.
Were you all alone?
I was with a friend, thank goodness. We tried digging that dirt out for, like, an hour before somebody came along with a 4x4 truck.
And pulled you out.
Someone just happened to come along on this road that wasn't?
Exactly. It was like a guardian angel.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got it. You got the horseshoe, as they say.
Wow. So you ripped off all this flimsy little plastic stuff.
Yeah, and I have it. It's in the back of, it's in my trunk of my car, and there's like 4 or 5 pieces all shredded up. And like, I realize that they put it there for a reason, but at the same time, like, if I could afford not to have to pay for this to be fixed.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it wasn't there for a very important reason.
Oh, good.
Because if it needed to be substantial, it wouldn't have been made out of plastic.
Right. And the car wouldn't still be running.
And mostly,
if it was that important.
Mostly these plastic pans, belly pans or whatever they call them, are designed as like stone guards, number one. They're designed to keep stones from coming up or yeah, sugar sand or whatever you happen to be stuck in.
Which means that the next time you go trailblazing, you will not have this protection.
And you'll wreck the car.
And you'll bang a hole through your transmission, which will cost you $4,000 to fix.
But the most important one that is, I'm sure, is in your trunk now, shielded the belts from road debris, mostly water. Because when you go through puddles, if a lot of water gets splashed on the belts, they'll begin to slip.
Okay.
So it's nice to have something under there. So they're not very expensive. I mean, they're like $20 a piece for these things.
I would take this to the dealership, you think I could do this myself?
Well, I would take them to your local gas station.
Okay.
Well, you're lucky that the alligators didn't descend on you or whatever is out there, you know. So feel good that you escaped by just damaging a few plastic pieces of shielding.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have to wait until you get a job, you can wait.
That was my major concern.
But if you can scrape up maybe $100, you could probably replace everything under there.
Oh, really? That's not too bad, then.
No.
Great.
Beth, I wish you the best in finding a job. What kind of a job are you looking for?
I'm a registered dental hygienist.
You are?
Mm-hmm. So I'm headed to St. Pete. That's where all the jobs are.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Or Tampa.
Because no
area.
One in the rest of Florida has teeth, what?
No one on that side.
Exactly.
Well, good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck. I'm sure you'll have a wonderful chairside manner.
I do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Damien from Eugene, Oregon.
Davey?
Damien.
Oh, Damien.
Damien.
Hey, guys.
Damien, like the famous saints Cosmo and Damien.
Yeah, just like him.
Just
kind of.
Yeah. Kind of. You sound like a saintly kind of guy, Damien.
Oh, bless you. Well, on a good day.
On a good day. What can we do for you?
Okay, so I own a 96 Subaru Outback,
mm-hmm,
and I am absolutely stumped as to what this problem is.
Yeah.
So first thing in the morning, I take my kids up to the daycare. The daycare is at the top of the hill. It's about 1 mile from my house.
Are you Dutch?
I'm actually English, but that's close enough.
English?
Yeah.
You are not.
I am too. I think I am. Last time I checked, I am.
You don't have any English accent, but you have a Dutch accent.
Well, I think
it's the Dutch East Indies.
Dutch East Indies.
I think if you live on the West Coast for 10 years, and then put that with an English accent, you come up with Dutch.
Wow, that's very interesting. Sure, because the accent you end up with is a function of where you started and where you end up.
Back in New York, I know they used to call it a mid-Atlantic accent.
Wow. Okay.
Well, so even though we think you're an imposter, we'll talk to you anyway. But your accent is sounding more British as we go along.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a 96 Outback, and what's it doing?
Okay, so I schlep the two kids into the car and take them up the hill. And
it's a mile up the hill.
1 mile. Okay. Now, one to two times out of our five trips up that hill each week, the car, about three-quarters of the way up, will start to splutter, and the engine will start to feel like it's almost like it's choking, like a ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And as that happens, we all kind of have a giggle, and we have our favorite place to pull off to. I pull the car off to the side, I turn the engine off, and sit there for 30 seconds, fire the engine back up, it'll start up just fine, it will feel like it's clear, and then we'll take off and we'll make it to the daycare. Now, I have one small piece that might be able to factor some answer into
it. Oh, yeah, we may need more than one piece.
I've noticed if I let my car sit longer and run the engine in the morning,
good.
If I let it run longer, it seems to make it up the hill.
Yeah. See, I hate to ask a question that I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
Every good lawyer knows that rule, you know, that you never ask a question unless you already know the answer. But I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Is it likely to be worse on damp days?
I want to say yes, but it's not.
Well, you want to say yes? Or what?
No.
What would it take
He thinks you want the answer yes, but it's not true.
It's not true.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's all right.
Since you were so helpful with that answer, how about this? has the check engine light ever come on when this car's misbehaved?
Yes, it has.
Oh.
And I've taken it in.
Yeah.
And their feedback was that it was related that they believe I need a new ignition. Is it the sparking plug?
Coil.
No, not a coil. He said that I need to replace the lines.
Oh, the cables.
Yeah, the cables on the plug.
Well, you could, and that's why I asked if it were a wet weather phenomenon, because...
And I think that's what his call... But this is the
I don't
only...
like it.
Well, wait a minute. Early in the morning, there is dew.
Okay, sorry.
There is dew on the wires. There is dampness.
Dew. There's dew on your idea.
No, come on.
No, I think
aren't we supposed to be partners? Jeez.
I don't like it.
I do.
I don't like it.
Well, I will only tell you, Damien.
And you're saying that if he lets the engine warm up for this extra couple of minutes,
it dries up the dew. Yep. I'm going with it. And I'll tell you, here's all I have to go on, because I have no support from my brother. My vast experience with Subarus. That they have problems with bad spark plug wires, and your car is the right age.
Yeah.
And they also have problems with coils that fail.
All right, hold it. Before you get too enamored of this idea, why does this so-called dew phenomenon take three-quarters of the way up the hill to exhibit itself? And why in 30 seconds is the dew phenomenon gone? He stops for 30 seconds, starts the car, and
did you ever read my dissertation on dew dissipation?
Yeah. Well, I have read some doo-doo that you've written, but no.
No, I mean,
I'm going to just toss out an idea, and you make an argument for it. If you had to choose between your bogus wire idea and a faulty temp sensor.
Oh, well.
What would you choose?
I'm sticking with my bogus
You're
wire.
You're crazy.
I'll tell you, because the temp sensors never go in the Subarus. And I would do the wires. They're going to cost you like $35 or $40 if you buy them at the dealer. Put them on. If it doesn't solve the problem, then have the coil replaced. You can do that yourself, too.
Great.
It's one of those two things. I guarantee it, Damien.
Money in the bank.
There you go. See you later, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's Dutch. He's in the witness protection program. He's not fooling us.
Yeah, but he sounds like a nice guy.
He does. I'm glad he escaped from whatever prison he escaped from.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Maxine from Davis, California.
Hi, Maxine.
Maxine, Davis.
Well, yeah. Maxine is a name that you don't hear much.
You don't.
No.
Maxine.
The most famous Maxine that I know of was the Maxine of Maxine Laverne and...
The Andrews sisters.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, the Andrews sisters.
Yeah.
Maxine, Laverne, and Fred. I don't know who was the third one.
So are you a college professor there in Davis?
No, I'm not. I'm a school teacher, though. I teach art.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Art teacher.
I have a 98 Honda CRV, and I took it in for a checkup, and they put windshield wiper fluid in my brake line.
This was the dealership?
Yeah. But I didn't find out for a couple days. I drove it, and I got a tremendous vibration in my steering wheel. So I took it back in, and, they asked me if I had put any fluid in the brake. Yeah, they said, have you put windshield wiper fluid in it? And I said, no. And ultimately, they replaced my front brakes. Now, my question is, should they have, they didn't do the rear. Should they have done the rear?
Well, let's go back.
Did they admit that they had put the windshield washer fluid in there?
Not really.
They never did.
No, they said they didn't know how it got in there.
No, it's on page one of the auto repairer's handbook.
Never
admit to anything, no matter how damning the evidence.
Right. But the clue is when they replaced your brakes, did they charge you for it?
No.
That's it. That says guilty.
But
I don't understand why it was vibrating.
No, it's unrelated.
Really?
Well, here's the deal. The stuff they put in the washer fluid is mostly water.
Yeah.
Soap. I think water, alcohol, and soap.
Yeah.
The alcohol and the brake fluid are miscible. They'll mix together. The soap probably wouldn't hurt anything, and the water, depending on how much they added, might just get absorbed by the brake fluid.
So you mean I got new brakes for nothing?
It wouldn't cause if there were enough water in there, it could have caused you to lose your brakes because the stuff would have boiled.
Right.
Oh.
And when you say that you got the vibration,
it was so bad that I had really difficulty holding on to the steering
wheel.
But
was it vibrating even when you were not stepping on the brakes?
No, I was on the freeway when this occurred.
So you were not stepping on the brakes?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, these two things are completely unrelated.
They just did it out of a guilty conscience.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very strange. I mean, that's very suspicious. Something else is happening here that we don't understand.
They replaced left and right calipers, master cylinder, and flushed the brake fluid.
That's what they did.
Calipers?
Yeah.
You know how much that costs?
Yeah, they told me it was a lot.
Something else is going on. How
do you know it was washer fluid? Did they tell you that?
Yeah, they said that it was a different color. There was some kind of bluish tint or something in the.
What I think they put in there?
What?
Power steering fluid.
Oh.
Because that has a bluish tinge to it.
Yeah.
So maybe, and that's the case. I think you should ask them to replace your rear wheel cylinders. I think this car has drum brakes in the back, and it has wheel cylinders. That's the only other hydraulic part that they didn't replace. And I think you should ask them to do that too.
Oh, okay.
But ask them what was actually causing the vibration, because the calipers, unless they were seized,
they told me they were locking up.
Well, maybe they were. And if that was the case, it wasn't washer fluid that was added. It was something that really contaminated the brake fluid, and I don't think washer fluid would do that. And if it really contaminated the brake fluid in the front brakes, then it also has contaminated the brake fluid going to the back brakes, and that's why they should replace the rear cylinders.
Now, you know, does this happen very often? Do they screw up like
We do it like once a week.
Okay.
You know, it's not that often.
No, I mean, this almost never happens. I mean, this is outrageous, actually.
Yeah.
To think, especially to think a dealership would not know where... the master cylinder was. I mean, come on.
Well, they may have some trainee doing it. They may have some kid, some high school kid, and they said, look it, Freddie, open the hood on all these cars and fill up the brake fluid, fill up the power steering.
Sure. You know, I asked them that, and I said, did you have somebody you were training? And they said, no.
Oh, they're going to tell you.
And they told me, no, though, this guy's been here for years. I thought the same
maybe
thing.
Maybe he's been there too many years.
Good luck, Maxine.
All righty. Bye-bye.
See you later. Hey, it's time for us to take a little break.
Ah, yes. This is to give our stations a little time to identify themselves.
No, this is to give their janitors time to clean the anti-car talk graffiti off the station's front door.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Cruising across the USA, taking in the land, wider than a Cadillac, longer than a van. Capacity 16 children, 4 tubes of old toothpaste, 3 tanks for the gasoline, 2 tanks for the waste RV. RV.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
While you're sleeping, a whole bunch of news is happening around the world. Up first is the NPR News podcast that gets you caught up on the big news in a small amount of time. Spend about 10 minutes with Up First on weekday mornings from NPR News.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and apropos of nothing.
It is, because it is really apropos of nothing, but... It just...
It says everything,
it
huh?
It struck me, you know? I'll just read it to you and you'll see what it does to you.
I'm sure I will.
It's from Dennis Kimball from Columbus, Ohio. Dear Click and Clack,
are we going to rate this on the scale?
On the Andy scale. I have a couple of notes about the Andy scale. We have to discuss that, too. I have a quasi-automotive question for you. About 2 years ago, my wife and I had to return home from your fair city with little time to spare. We decided to drive all night. As I was the first driver on the trip, I began looking for caffeine-laden beverages to help me stay awake. For the first time ever, I tried one of those brand-name bottled teas. Within a very few minutes of gulping the last swig from the bottle, I developed the urgent need for, as you say, a haircut. And it was not just a gradual development. Inside of approximately 10 minutes, I went from perfect contentment to an instant demand for a wicked haircut. Fortunately, I found relief at a fully appointed roadside rest area.
Is it need a haircut or need two haircuts?
It's a. Being a little slow in making a causal connection between the tea and this condition, I consumed yet another bottle of the beverage at a later point of the trip. Sure enough, within minutes. I was once again doing the sit-down rumba. I was doing the sit-down rumba, and the search was on for it all. The search was on for an all-night barbershop with an open chair. My question is whether this is a normal reaction to bottled teas, or should I have my cosmetological metabolism examined by a professional? Perplexed, Dennis Kimball, Columbus. It did it to you too, right? What a great letter. I give that a 6 on the Andy scale.
Oh, I was going to go 6.5.
Actually, do I have another minute?
Sure.
Because we have to discuss this. Otherwise, we're going to be screwed up for the rest of our lives if we don't get this straight. I'm writing in response to your suggested Car Talk letter rating system based on a scale of Andy units. I mean, if those of you who've never heard of us before, we have a letter which we thought was the epitome of letters, written by Andy Reichman from Marlboro, Vermont. And shall I read the one sentence that did it?
Well, you obviously have to.
I mean, this is an entire page, but he discusses whether or not two people who don't know
he
what
he puts forth the thesis.
The thesis.
That two people can know less than one person.
Right. The two people who don't know what they're talking about know more or less than one person who doesn't know what he's talking about. And he, somewhere in this missive, there's this sentence. With two people, the intricacies, the gives and takes, the wherefores and why nots can become a veritable pas de deux of breathtaking speculation interwoven in such a way that apologies or gestures of doubt are rendered unnecessary. I mean, and I will read Andy's entire letter one of these days again. But however, Casey Rice from Whidbey Island, Washington says, I'm troubled by your placement of it at 8 on the proposed scale. Basing at 8 is counterintuitive, and by extension, it suggests that Andy's groundbreaking, gauntlet-laying, hysteria-inspiring achievement is somehow less than itself.
Yes.
In the future, the question will surely come up. If Andy's an 8, then what is the 10? The answer will be, of course, that Andy's first letter should be 10. It is the benchmark of Car Talk written correspondence in the modern era, and so should be given a more respectful, sensible, and standing blah, 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 blah. Remember, Roger Maris and Henry Aaron have their places, but we never forget the babe. So I think Casey's right. I think, Andy, it's got to be a 10. Do you agree?
Well, no, I don't agree, frankly, but
you don't.
I'll bow to the pressure, I guess,
I mean,
if I have to.
You're saying this is so good, but you think it could be better.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll have to leave it to our listeners.
Let's compromise. It's a 9.
Okay.
Now, okay. Some of you may be wondering where the puzzler is.
Hey, I was wondering where the puzzler is.
Get off my back, will you?
Well, if you need to shock your brain cells out of their summer torpor, just go to our website, cartalk.com, and check out this week's archival puzzler.
Hmm. Archival? Does that mean it was so great that we saved it? Archived for future generations?
No, it just means we got less than the usual number of complaints about it.
Good enough. Well, look, if you have a complaint about your car or anything else, you can reach us at the following number. IVII VIII 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 Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Robert from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee.
Soddy Daisy?
How do you spell that? S-A?
No, S-O-D-D-Y.
Soddy.
Soddy, D-A-I-S-Y.
Soddy Daisy.
Soddy Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy's growing in the midst, amidst the grasses. Yeah, well, that's kind of a charming
name. And where is Soddy Daisy?
Right outside of Chattanooga.
Oh, okay, we got it. Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. Well, it's been nice talking to you, Robert. So what's happening?
Our company bought a used pickup truck, a 1990 Ford F-250 XLT, 43,000 miles, mint condition, as we're waving to the elderly couple to drive away and thanking them and everything for
Did you happen to witness them laughing up their sleeves? Never mind.
No. Waving to them as they're, you know, smiling and everybody's happy. I say goodbye, and she says, goodbye, take good care of Mark. And I kind of cock my head to the side, and she said, Mark, the truck's name is Mark. And I think to myself, of all the things that she could have told me, drive safe, you know, put unleaded gas in it, don't go over 65.
She had to tell
you
the
truck
name.
Truck being named Mark is the one that really just cut to the bone and cut to the quick.
Yeah.
Because I've always had a vehicle that's been named a female.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, I thought all great vessels were female names, and I'm wondering if I can change the name of the truck, feminize it, or change it to a female, and not cause the truck any psychological, mechanical problems.
So you think if you decide to change Mark to Marcia or Mary or something like that, that
it's not going to respond or
have an identity crisis.
I've never understood the idea of giving a vehicle a name.
No.
I've never had
Now, to be fair, Tommy's called his vehicle some names.
It always started with you, Snow Good.
But they actually...
There's a level of respect and a dedication, I think, that comes to it. I'm going to take good care of her.
Right. I think
she's going to take good care of me.
Well, I'm not so. I'll tell you, we have seen plenty of junk boxes in our shop that have had names.
Yeah.
So I think naming a car doesn't necessarily ensure that it's going to be taken care of and treated with respect. So you have this thing, and you've had it for how long, Robert?
We've had it for about 4 weeks.
And has anyone called it by name?
We did once, and then in front of the truck, and then we had a brainstorm at the shop and came up with Marcy as a feminization of it.
Well, I think Marquee might be better. I remember there was an actress named Marquee Post.
Really?
Yeah. And so Marquee, he could just think it's a cute name, but he might not realize that he's had a sex change.
Yeah.
So you name your vehicles as a matter of course. I mean, has it been?
All the time.
Really? Can you share with us some of the names that you've had?
Well, the first one, it was a Eclipse, and her name was Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And not any others that you could mention to us? You share with our listening audience? It's all right. You don't have
but
to.
But it doesn't.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if the roles had been such that I were in this car, and this old lady had said to me, take good care of my, I've never named a car in my life.
No.
If she had said to me, take good care of my, I said, yeah, right, okay, see you later. And that would have been the end. I wouldn't have given it another thought.
Another thought, really?
No, I mean, your car, your truck doesn't have a soul. I mean, it isn't a being. It's a mechanical device. And as such, doesn't deserve a name.
That
I know
hurts.
I'm going to get a lot of flack about this.
Well, I've never given a name to a vehicle, never.
Well,
I don't understand why anyone would do it.
But lots of people do it, and because we don't understand it, we're going to ask our listeners and people who visit our website to help. So we're going to open up a discussion area on the site.
Ah.
Because we're eager to know how many of our listeners name their cars and what their reasons are for naming their cars. Because
and whether they are male or female and roughly how old they are.
Well, I think more women name their cars than guys.
I do, too.
I think that's for sure.
Yeah.
And more than that, I want to find out if people at least believe that they take care of their cars better because they've named them. Because now if you name somebody, it's like it's a member of your family.
Sure.
If one of your kids was named, you know, Mark, would you not feed him? Right? Well, anyway, Robert, I would stick with Marquee for the time being because I don't think he'll be able to tell.
Okay.
Yeah, and Marquee could be a female name.
Excellent.
And we'll keep you posted on what goes on. Well, you can check the site
yourself.
Yeah,
I'll go check it out.
All right, man.
Boy, thanks for calling.
These tough questions are killing us. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Christine Solomon.
Hi, Christine.
I'm calling from Lambertville, New Jersey.
Lambertville. Got it. So what's up, Christine?
There's a problem with my husband's car.
Of course.
Yeah. He has a 1986 Honda Accord hatchback with 200,000 miles on it.
Great.
And we have an ant colony that moved into the car in the spring, and we can't seem to get them out.
No kidding. There's always the question, how did they get in there?
And why? I mean, of all the places to go, why would they go into his 86 Accord hatchback?
He's kept that car very clean. There's a large supply of sesame seeds from all the bagels that he usually carries in the car.
Ah, that's why.
But other than that, it's been very clean.
Sesame seeds are just the right size for the average
full-blooded American ant to lug.
Right, the average adult ant to lug back to home.
Except, how do they know that you're going to end up back home? I mean, he could drive the car. What if that was the day he decided to move from New Jersey to California?
You don't understand. That is home.
No, we've...
Have you seen any TV antennas go up?
No, they got cable.
We've cleaned out the entire car. We've vacuumed every part of it we can get to. We've even unscrewed parts of it to try to get inside. They seem to be living in the roof. We've put ant traps on the roof inside and outside of the car. And
where they're living, I bet?
Ignore them.
They're under the headliner. Above the headliner, actually.
Yeah, between the metal roof and the cloth ceiling. Which is called the headliner. That's where they are, I bet.
Why?
Don't ever open that up on a full stomach. Because you will be grossed out beyond belief.
See, I don't have this problem because I make it a point to not leave little stinky little things like sesame seeds. I leave big things like ham sandwiches. So that
he has mammals in his car.
But mammals leave. They don't want to hang around the car. They come, they get the food, and they go. They open the door, they go. But the ants, I don't know what to do about
it. So you're suggesting
this.
I get a mammal?
Well, I'm suggesting that your husband stop eating those
bagels and start eating nice McDonald's, Arch McDonald's, whatever those things are.
Actually, he has stopped eating things in the car, and he stores any food he has in a cooler, but they've found their way into the cooler also.
Oh, yeah, no, he can't say it. Get into everything.
I don't know what to do. I don't know about
that. Have you considered chemical warfare of any kind? Because, they obviously succumb to these various ant and
well, we have considered bombing the car, but you're not supposed to use those things on an area that's smaller than 1,600 cubic feet.
So yeah, and plus you have to get in the car. It's dangerous.
I've got it. The ants obviously leave the car at some point for water. The ants drink.
Oh, water? You right? Think they leave and get water?
Well, there ain't no water in the car unless they're getting it out of the radiator.
No kidding.
So I think they leave. What you have to do is spray the exterior of the car with the ant killer, which they will walk through.
Okay.
And that will be the end of them.
And that won't damage the finish on the car?
Oh, who cares about the finish? Oh, we're fighting a battle for survival here. It's you against the ants.
Gee, that's a good theory there. Is it true?
I have no idea.
Well, that's how the flea callers work on dogs.
Well, I know that's how dummy termites that eat your house return to the ground for water. So that's why they never go more than...
They don't have to leave the house.
They never go beyond the second floor bedrooms.
Wow.
But I would spray the outside
okay.
of the car, all the places where doors meet, you know, solid panel.
Well, how do they get out? I mean, how are they going to get out?
Via the weather stripping. They get out.
Then when they get down to the bottom, what do? Take a dive and land on the
no,
pavement?
No, they walk around. They get on. They walk down the axle. They go down the tires.
Oh, yeah, we see them on the all over the outside of the car.
Oh,
all,
you do?
All the time. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you know the route.
Oh, they do.
If you know the route, then that's the thing to do. Spray the axles and the tires.
Okay.
Yeah, this will be like the Burma Trail.
Yeah, let us know if this works, because you're not the first person who's called us with one of these entomological problems.
Burma Road, that's what it was.
The Burma Road.
Yeah, you'll find them, yeah.
Yeah, let us know if that technique works.
Okay, we'll try that.
Good luck, Christine.
Thank you very much.
Don't call back.
Okay.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another precious hour of your summer listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Valley Stream, Heavy Cream, Battered Bream, Pork Supreme, Light Soy Dream, and Latte Steam Diet Scheme, is John Bugsy Lawler. A busy guy. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our scout leader is Lawson DeWoods. Our retractable antenna tester is Benton Broke. The chairman of our Southern Literature Department is Amos Reed. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working weather support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the scholars in black socks and flip-flops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1934, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our poorly curated clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's long in the grill? The Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to your favorite NPR station. It's the good deed you've been looking for to help justify that new Lexus. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though baby boomers say, you know, a little age-related hearing loss might not be such a bad thing whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.